This is Sound Effect. I'm Gabriel Spitzer, and our theme today is playing defense. Going into his freshman year at the University of Washington back in 2001, Lul Mengesha felt like he was prepared. For high school, Lul went to Rainier Beach in South Seattle. He was an honors student, he ran cross country, and he was part of a student leadership group.
I was really involved and ambitious.
Lul's family's from Ethiopia, and at Rainier Beach, there were a lot of students who looked like him. But his confidence took a hit after taking UW's math placement test.
Everybody has to take that placement test going into UW, and it places you into, you know, pre-calculus or calculus or algebra, whatever. Then I actually placed into a no-credit math class, Math 98. That was like the first blow in college, like realizing that now, even though everybody kind of knew I was smart in my high school, that just didn't matter anymore.
Lul didn't settle for taking remedial math. He found free tutoring, took the test again, and got into a higher level math course. But the realization that succeeding in high school still didn't prepare him for UW dovetailed with another new reality. He was often one of the only black students in his classes. That came with obstacles, large and small, to his success. Lul says he had to armor himself against those setbacks. Later, he'd document his solutions and workarounds in his book, The Only Black Student, published in 2009. The people Lul wants to reach are students like 19-year-old Royce Kelly.
I am a 6'3", 180-pound, light-skinned man with long hair. I'm black and white. This is what I am, and I'm proud of what I am.
Royce graduated from Rainier Beach last June. He's attending community college in Seattle, and he hopes to transfer to Louisiana State University. Royce and Lul sat down to talk about what it's like to navigate mostly white institutions.
The reason I wrote The Only Black Student was because I was an upperclassman, and I was meeting students like you. It felt like I was meeting smart people who were dropping out. It was always about something outside of the classroom, like they were short on rent or short on their dorm, you know, dorm room payment, and they didn't know that they could just ask like a counselor if they knew of any scholarships or emergency financial aid. It just always seemed like there was this game that was being played that people just didn't understand how to navigate, and that's what I felt like. I was always much better at that than I was in the actual classroom. So let's move 2 years into the future, and you just finished up at South Seattle, which is a very diverse space, smaller classes. You've got to know people. There's people who kind of look like you. There's people who have similar backgrounds. And then you're going to LSU, which is more homogenous. What concerns do you have or might have about that transition?
That I'll have to, like, code switch. So I'm half white, so I have white family. And I'm very familiar with how they speak to people and how they interact with other people. So when I'm talking to certain people, I'll take the bass out of my voice. If I'm talking to somebody that I feel like can affect what I'm doing, I'm usually more like submissive and want to avoid conflict with that person. I guess I kind of just like, I change up how I talk and then how I act in certain ways. Because, I mean, I'm very animated and I move around a lot like I'm doing now. Nobody can see me besides you guys, but I'm moving right. My hands. And it's just, yeah, I'm a very animated person. When I'm talking to certain people, I'll sort of just stop what I'm doing.
Be more reserved.
And be more reserved, yeah. And I'm just, that's not who I actually am.
I don't code switch anymore. I'm like... who I am as much as I can be.
When did you stop code switching so much?
I think, you know, luckily I do live in Oakland, California now, and I feel like it's just a lot easier to be more of yourself there because we have so many examples of people that are successful who speak in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the Northwest is probably a little more conservative around that type of identity. like if I lived back in Seattle and I worked corporate or government or you know, tech here, I feel like I probably would have to make some of those sacrifices. And I wouldn't want to do that at this stage because I love who I am and I want to be as true to that as possible. With my book, The Only Black Student, so much is kind of like arming yourself and how you navigate. And it sounds like you're already thoughtful about what are certain ways that you're perceived and how you have to arm yourself. When you are in college and you know you have long hair and it's you know, people are gonna ask to touch your hair a lot, so and I know you've already dealt with that, but you're gonna be in spaces where people don't look like you who are asking to touch your hair, and it's gonna, you know, it's a judgment call on your end, you know. Yeah. But I was very uncomfortable with it, and sometimes I'd be playful and other times I'd be like, no, you know, it's because I used to have long hair. Yeah, so that, but it's going to happen. People, again, are going to be in your space and they're going to try to take away your agency of your own space, your own body over and over again. So you got to look out for yourself. Being profiled happened multiple times on campus. I had a friend that, I mean, this one, it was, we were so oblivious to how it could be perceived, but he locked his keys in his car and I went upstairs to my dorm to get him a coat hanger and he's driving a hoopty. And a hoopty is a car that is low cost, typically has like rims on it and is like either a Cadillac or let's say a 1999 music video type of car. But anyways, right, so he's the only person on campus that would have this car. Multiple people called the cops on us. So I think three cop cars pull up on us and we're still not getting what's happening, you know. We're like trying to get into his car and we were the threat, you know. So eventually they realize that we're trying to get into his car and they, one of the officers helps us get in. But it was I was like, oh, you know, this is another example of me understanding that the students on campus didn't really see me as like a fellow student.
I would feel like it's just like, all right, man. But at the end of that, it's still my car. So I'm just, you know, I'd still be pretty calm about it, though.
We don't get to be emotionally expressive. So knowing that even the advocacy of against a accusation, we have to be in control, which is, it's really wild that we have to be in control when dealing with an authoritative figure like a police officer, which is not, I mean, we're civilians. You know, it's not our job.
Yeah.
That's like, I think, one part of understanding how to navigate this country. The second part is then speaking up for yourself in a way that does not get you harmed. Mm-hmm. So you already know the neutralizing the situation. You're like, oh, you know what? The stakes are not that big here. This is not a big deal. So in the grand scheme of things, which really is, that shows just how self-aware you are. And the other part is saying to yourself, like, you're going to fight for every single one of these little attacks on you. Because that's what I do now. It doesn't matter how small it is, because you need to always be practicing advocacy. You need to always practice speaking up for yourself. It's, you know, always practice speaking up for other people. And every time you do that, you feel just a bit better. One way that I would get professors to see me in the classroom, I would often just ask a professor if they could repeat themselves, if they said something like a lower tone that nobody else could hear, because I just wanted to hear my voice in a class of 400 people. Hearing your voice in these classes is some form of feeling like you've been acknowledged and accepted. What do you want to do, Royce?
I want to major in kinesiology.
Okay.
And since I was an athlete, my trainer, like the dude that took care of us when we got hurt, I always thought that job was pretty cool. Right. Because it's like, I like helping people, so.
The people that we look for, like the mentors that I talked about, we can often find them in a lot of different places. For me, at the University of Washington, there was a black chemistry professor, and just even seeing him on campus, really made me understand that it was possible to be in this realm and be in this world. When you see somebody who looks like you, who is successful in a space that you're curious about, it makes it seem much more tangible and real.
That story was produced by Sound Effects' Jennifer Wing. Lul Mangesha is an author, a filmmaker, and the founder of a startup in Oakland, California. Royce Kelly is a recent graduate of the International Baccalaureate Program at Seattle's Rainier Beach High School.